Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Welcome to The Shit Show. And I'm just wheezing over here. It's something that's actually not funny.
That's what you sound like. Ruby, delete that.
No, Ruby. Do something with that.
That's the cold open.
Welcome, everyone. Kia ora. Hi, how are you? Oh, that was like a Jeffree Star intro.
I was thinking it was like Susie's World.
Oh, what's her song?
No, I'm not going
to
do it.
Oh, damn it. Welcome to the last ever. Well, I hesitate to say last ever, but the last squish-a-dish for a while of the shit show.
Mm.
We found out today, spoiler alert, this is my good news story. I got my visa. Well, we found out yesterday. And so that means, everyone, Loose and Squish will be on a hiatus for a little while.
We're going on a break.
One more siblings or dating thing before we end the shit show. The shit show will continue. So watch the space for how, because I'm still figuring it out from Portugal.
But it won't be me.
It won't be Nick. It might be Squish. The time difference hasn't been that bad when doing Culture Vulture with Laura.
I don't know. Well, we can talk about
this. But look, yeah. Nick doesn't want her anymore. So.
Well, Lucy's been going on and on and on all this time about how she's firing me and how I'm getting fired. And I think she feels really good about it, about firing me, finally being able to have a little bit of control.
No.
I was always the older one, and now the younger sibling gets to fire me.
Gets to hire and fire.
Hire and
like
fire.
Like nothing.
Well, yeah, just like I'm a worthless labour unit.
No, I was actually thinking through some of my favourite shit show moments with you. And the first one, or this happens time and time again, or used to when we were doing it virtually, because we used to get up at 6 a.m. and record this for you, everyone.
We used to get up before then. We used to start recording at 6 a.m.
Yeah. And we'd be messaging at 5:40, like, just gonna go and put a coffee on, see you soon.
Yeah, just having a toast.
And then Nick's earpods would always fuck up, and Nick would get aggro, and I'd have to hang up or put him on mute because I couldn't bear to hear him being aggro.
Morning, Nick.
Six.
With technology that's not working. Yeah.
Crumptious.
It's a recipe for disaster.
And then also you talking about beers. That is also a highlight for me of the shit show.
I think that's a highlight for everybody.
I think so too. Hank the Tank, I'd say.
Hank the Tank, one of the great characters of the shit show.
Yes.
Also life.
And then winning 2 podcast awards.
Oh yeah, what could be better than that?
While we were under your co-hosting reign,
yeah.
We won 2 New Zealand podcast awards, so that's like...
It was pretty awesome, and podiumed another year, so...
Did we? No, you've only been doing it 2 years.
Bitch, no.
We won 2. Oh, okay. We won the overall one, the Listener's Choice,
mm-hmm.
and then Culture Vulture the next year won Listener's Choice, but the shit show won Best Current. Oh, no. We got second. No, but the first year we won 2.
Yeah, that's what I thought you were getting at. Yeah. We won 2 in the first year.
And we got second or
and
third.
And third, I think, in the second year.
So basically, everyone... We're really good. We're so good that we forget all the awards we've won or been nominated for.
Yeah, well, it's hard to remember all the awards, but we're getting 6th next year.
Do you have a favourite episode or a favourite story that we've talked about?
Well, obviously you brought up Hank the Tank before. I think that's the one I'm...
You're most known for?
Yeah, well, yeah, that's the one I'm most known for. I've liked some of the... I mean, obviously Big Stuck Boat comes to mind.
Oh, my God!
The story that... Shot me to stardom.
Yes, that landed you the role.
Yeah, that was my audition, and then obviously went fairly well. But yeah, some of the economy things that I've done.
Yes.
I also,
and this is going to sound terrible, but I really liked our Astro World episode. I remember we let that out after the podcast awards, and I think it's our most listened to episode. I liked the ones where we do big explainers.
Yeah. I think that's where I'm doing my best work, is where I'm breaking down a subject. And
I'm not going to lie, I've actually liked the political shit that's as good. Well,
there's one more, and we saved the best till last.
We've got the ACT party coming up today, everyone. But first, Squish, I want to know the weirdest thing you saw on the internet this week.
The weirdest thing I saw on the internet this week is probably one of the all-time worst things that could happen to you while you're travelling, in the act of travelling. Flight diverted due to diarrhea, and this is the important bit, all through the airplane.
Okay, I'm not going to lie. Dad had read this out to me 2 days ago and has been begging me to cover it somehow.
Yep, so the story came out a couple of days ago, reports.
What happened?
Well, basically, the flight took off from Atlanta, Delta Airlines flight 194 on their way to Barcelona, when the pilot had to inform air traffic control that a biohazard incident had occurred on board. And there's a photo of the...
Ooh.
No, well, oh. I'll go into this later. Pilot was heard in a recording that was posted on X, formerly Twitter. We've had a passenger, this is the quote, we've had a passenger who's had diarrhea all the way through the airplane, so they want us to come back to Atlanta. So they were 2 hours into the 8 hour flight. Now, for a while, people were like, oh my God, how bad does it have to be?
Yeah.
For it to be called a biohazard incident, and
for the plane to turn around.
And what the hell does all through the airplane mean?
Yes.
So there was a little bit of speculation over the the status of the diarrhea. And today there was a video posted to X of the
ooh,
and it spans rows. So it's like,
how did it do that? Like,
I don't know. There wasn't a video of the perpetrator. It's down one row, you know, between the centre row and the window seats.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know, maybe the video spans maybe 10 seats from front to back.
Did they just keep moving seats?
I don't know. No, it's not. It's down the row. It's like...
They
drop trout and spread fertiliser down the row.
Was it a baby, do you think?
It was too much for a baby.
Oh, my God. That's just... disgusting.
Yeah, well, imagine sitting in seat, you know, row 37, seat D.
Oh, that's disgusting.
Watching that happen as it goes past, splashback. Anyway.
Ooh!
Enough about that.
What's cop pretending to be a dog? Nick just hit something written in our script.
I saw a TikTok, and it was another contender for weirdest thing.
I'm looking at it online.
Don't make us release our canine.
Okay, so it's just a cop barking like
giving real they came bounding over energy, but he does it way better.
Oh my God, okay, that's a good contender. Well, my weirdest thing, Nick, is...
Well, you can have that one if you like.
Well, I've got one.
Okay.
A part of China's Great Wall has been severely damaged by construction workers who were basically trying to make a shortcut for their work. So, I basically said everything in the headline just there. Police say that two people are suspected of trying to create a shortcut for their construction work. The two have been detained. The case is under further investigation. A 38-year-old man and a 55-year-old woman were working near the affected area, the 32nd Great Wall. They dug a big gap by widening an existing cavity of the Great Wall so the excavator could pass through it. Police say they wanted to reduce the distance they had to travel.
Work smarter, not harder, hell yeah.
And then get detained.
And get detained. Oh, you mean detained? Oh.
God, there's some good Squish quotes from your last episode.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Mm-hmm. Now, Squish, before we get to the ACT party, I just have two, and they're sort of terroristic. I don't know if that's a word.
Oh, man, it's a terrorist-really themed episode.
So,
a diarrhea on the plane.
These are just quite small little stories, but honestly, I couldn't be fucked. Like,
Oh, Lucy gets her freaking visa to Portugal. She checks straight out.
Well, my mind just wasn't here today.
I put in my whole...
He puts his whole badussy into this. His squishrissy is totally been put into his act script. Oh, yeah.
That's fucking revolting.
Well,
squishrissy.
His whole squishrissy.
Especially because it's the act, though.
No, I know. Anyway.
But I think it's actually the best one that I've done.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, get it, I guess. First story from me, though. Wagner,
Neil Wagner?
No, how do you say the word? Mercenary group? Mercenary?
Uh-huh. No, mercenary. It was the mercenary group that had to go to Polaris.
Yeah, this is one of the words that I've just read and not really said that much. So Wagner, the Russian mercenary group, is that how it's said?
Yes.
Okay, I just can't remember. Is set to be prescribed as a terrorist group by the UK government, meaning it will be illegal to be a member or support the organisation.
Hmm.
So I just thought that was crazy because we've been talking about them, obviously, as we've been talking about Prigozhin, another one that I'm not sure how to say. But, yeah, it's now deemed it's on the way to being deemed a terrorist organisation in the UK. And then my next story is about the Proud Boys' former leader. He has just been jailed for 22 years for orchestrating the Capitol riots in the US, Nick.
22 years, that's a fucking long time.
I know. And that is the longest sentence so far for anyone involved in those Capitol riots. So Henry Enrique Tardio was convicted of seditious conspiracy, which is a Civil War era charge, and other counts. He was convicted back in May, and he's sort of, I don't want to say he's done a 180, but he's giving remorseful. He said, "I'm extremely ashamed and disappointed that they were caused grief and suffering," talking about everyone involved. "I will have to live with that shame for the rest of my life." And then he acknowledged that Mr. Trump, Donald Trump, had lost the November 2020 election, saying, "I'm not a political zealot. Inflicting harm or changing the results of the election was not my goal. I didn't think it was even possible to change the results of the election." Which makes me think, why did you do it at all then?
Yeah, I don't know. He just wanted power.
Yeah.
And, you know, people go crazy with power.
Yeah, so he was the Proud Boys' former leader. Mm-hmm. Oh, I've actually got another story in here, which I didn't even realise.
Yeah, no, that's what I thought.
Wow. Just quickly then, everyone. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un is reportedly going to visit Russia this month to talk about supplying or helping Russia with weapons. I don't really have that much else to say with that, but it's not feeling good.
I didn't know North Korea had weapons.
They've got nukes.
They're not much help at the moment, though. I don't know.
Well, anyway, okay, you want to go against the BBC? Fine.
Oh, yeah, fucking off on the BBC.
No, well, apparently, yeah.
The BBC can show me their New Zealand Podcast Award, and...
and we'll see who comes out on top. It'll be us.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, North Korea is in talks to provide Moscow with weapons to support the war in Ukraine, US officials say. So do we trust them? I don't know. And I got that from the BBC. And do we trust them? I don't know.
Do we trust us? I don't know.
I don't know, everyone. But
say squish. Something we don't trust.
David Seymour. Oh, we're not biased, I promise. Anyway, Squish, talk to us about the ACT party.
Yes. So ACT, as you alluded to just the other second, is led by the somewhat polarising figure of David Seymour. Who, as much as he can be criticised for comments saying, such as saying Nelson Mandela, Kate Shepard, and the Māori chiefs who signed the Treaty of Waitangi would have voted for ACT, he can't be criticised for turning the ACT party around for some pretty sad results, election results.
I will say, that's like Justin Bieber when he said, "I bet Anne Frank would have been a believer."
Yeah, I bet Kate Shepard would have voted for
ACT. Yeah. Also, everyone, David Seymour, like, had, I think he still does this, but like, he was really into Snapchat for a time. So me and him honestly Snapchatted when we were at uni. Mostly just me roasting him and him like sending back really awkward photos. And then he was going to buy Liv drew a painting of Lord and he was going to buy it for his office, but then he never pulled through with the cash. So there you go.
Oh, wow.
I've still got the screenshots.
She's got receipts, everybody. The ACT Party of New Zealand, short for the Association of Consumers and Taxpayers.
Didn't know that.
Uh-huh. What did you think it was for?
like, get your act together.
Why was it in capitals? Act!
Yes. Yelling. Well, basically because action. Of his whole persona.
Yeah. It was founded in 1993.
New.
It emerged as a right-leaning political party with strong emphasis on three key ideas.
Okay.
Smaller government, less regulation, and lower taxes.
Didn't know any of that, not going to lie.
Yeah. So, basically, cutting government jobs, so, like, ministries and civil servants, things like that.
Okay.
Less regulation, so cutting laws, so you don't have to pay as much in taxes to keep all these things up.
Okay.
Fairly standard liberal sort of policies. The party was founded by Roger Douglas, who was a former Labour Party Minister of Finance, and Derek Quigley, National Party Minister of Economic Development.
Wow. A merger of Labour and National.
Yeah.
So, you said then quite liberal ideas, but they're still a right-leaning...
It can mean different things, I
guess. Yeah. People will understand liberal ideas, but, like, the way they're wanting to put them into play. Mm. Or, like, just their vibe is right-leaning. Conservative.
Big time.
Crazy. Liberal, conservative, right-leaning, left-leaning. It all just means nothing at the end of the day.
So the Liberal Party of Australia, like the Liberal Party, is their equivalent of our National Party.
Oh!
So that's their sort of centre-right sort of get up.
Okay. Mm. There you go.
Over the years, ACT has had varying levels of success. As I sort of said earlier, since David Seymour took over in 2014, the ACT Party has seen election results ranging from 0.5%, which isn't very good, to 7.6%, which, you know, is pretty decent.
How much do you need to get some seats?
You need to get 5%,
yeah,
unless you get an electorate seat.
And he always gets one electorate.
He does. He always gets Ipsum, which was previously a deal that sort of National did with ACT.
Oh.
So, meaning that...
No one ran against him.
Yeah, basically. Wow. No one from National would you know, put up a serious fight against him in that electorate.
Crazy.
So they got all of the right sort of vote.
Didn't know that.
Hmm. Because of that, they're pretty good friends with National. They're sort of, they make up the large part of the right block of government. So they usually buddy up when it comes to, like, election deals.
So it's kind of like Labour Greens, one side, ACT National, the other.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Te Pāti Māori, you could say, would more likely go to the left, and New Zealand First, depending on how Winston Peters feels that day, would go on the right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wherever. Okay.
Hmm.
Policies. Give me some policies.
So, obviously, a lot of their policies revolve around getting rid of things. So, this time around, they want to get rid of the Human Rights Commission and the Ministry for Women. just two examples. They also want to get rid of hate speech laws and fair pay agreements, and also at least one public holiday. So,
and, okay, a few things on there. Didn't he also say he wanted to blow up the Ministry for Pacific Peoples?
Yeah, but you could probably... relate that back to the earlier thing about criticised for comments like Kate Shepherd wants to vote for us.
So he's like...
I don't think he actually wants to blow them up.
No, but he still says shit like that. He's like that. Also, I feel like when you're making policies, not that I'm a politician, not that I ever want to be, so much easier to say that you're getting rid of shit than it is to be like, we're gonna
get rid of shit because it's going to save you money, sort of thing.
Yeah, instead of being like, here's what we want to implement. And, okay, I'm not going to say what one because it's controversial, but I also think we could redo some of our public holidays. I think bringing in Matariki was the best shit ever because it's relevant to all of us.
And it's in a really good time spot.
Yep, and I'd just say we've got some... that are, like, not that relevant to
everyone. Don't you touch Boxing Day.
Not touching Boxing Day. It's just crazy, though, that we have, like, certain public holidays that have been around forever, and a lot of them pertain to religion and things like that, which not everyone is of certain religions.
You want to get rid of Christmas. Lucy wants to get rid of Christmas. I don't.
And then a lot of them also, like, are historical things that are obviously incredibly important, but I feel like the generations that came after a lot of these, like, historical things... have dealt with, like, tragedy after tragedy after tragedy, and there's so many more relevant public holidays you could have than the ones that we have.
Right, Lucy hates Anzac Day.
No, I'm not saying that. We respect, and we love a day off. I'm just saying, they could be rejigged. Like, seriously, like, Gen Z have dealt with basically a fucking tragedy every 2 months since their birth. No, that's not true. But, you know, we had things like the earthquakes and the mosque attacks and, like, real things that should be commemorated in some way more than some other public holidays.
I think every Friday should be a public holiday and we should work 10-hour days.
Yes, I think you should, might have to move to Finland or something to get... Or Switzerland, maybe. Maybe Finland. You know how they were doing 4-day work weeks?
A bit cold. No grapes.
Oh, true. California. Trump. Under Trump.
Under...
Oh, anyway. Nick, that was a really good roundup of ACT.
Oh, thank you. Saving my best work for last.
I was going to say, I've really enjoyed the political shit. Also, I did just see that the spin-off relaunched Policy today, which is their voting tool, like political tool. It's amazing. It's interactive. It's really easy and cool. And seriously...
It's what I used to do, a couple of the little last-minute bit of research for this.
Brilliant. Seriously, everyone, you should go and look at that. We cannot big that up anymore because it's so fucking good. We'll even drop it in the show notes. Squish, I already said my good news, which was getting my visa. And good news is that you're not going to have to do any more shit shows. But that's also sad news for all the listeners.
Yeah, sad news for the general public. All 7 billion of you.
But you know what? Nick might come back to run the campaign for us winning another podcast award.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say, it's been a pleasure. I'm sorry I've had to
fire
you.
Your severance check is in the mail.
And
pay me out my holiday pay.
If anything big happens in the world, please get back on the mic
with
me to talk about
it. I've got one in my room at home, so.
Yes, you do too. And everyone, you can stalk Nick's Instagram and find him and DM him about how much you've loved him being on the shit show.
Yep.
Nick Blackiston. Are you okay with that?
Well, I guess so, yeah.
Put it in the show notes.
Yeah, tag me.
Tag him in all your beer and animal weird stories, yeah, okay?
I can't promise I'll reply.
Oh, what else are you going to do?
Well, yeah, I don't do anything else anymore, so.
Bye, everyone.
Goodbye, but thank you. Thank you for listening.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.